Welcome back to the Starting Lineup Podcast. First podcast of the year. 2017 right. Year is upon us. Busy summers for both of us, I would assume so.
First of all, I think we should start off by saying what this podcast even is right now.
Right.
An update, kind of like state of the union of the starting lineup, because it's, we've kind of molded and had different members go in and out, and maybe we have new listeners that haven't heard this podcast before. So right. First of all, this is Shep Jones.
Hello.
I'm Mitch George, and we are students at the University of Kansas, and we have a podcast. We try to cover all sports equally, but baseball tends to take most of the time, because since I think that's the number one sport for both of us, so we try to split time between baseball, the NFL, the NBA, and hockey, mm-hmm. with the last two not carrying too much gravity, not as much gravity as the other preceding two, but and especially since we're getting into the postseason races for the MLB, we're going to be spending a lot of time on baseball, and I think that's primarily what we're going to be talking about today. We might sprinkle in some football here for the last mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Fantasy football's kicking up, so we can. Have you had any drafts yet?
Which I'm still waiting on your response for.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I have not. I have a draft on Sunday, and that is a $45 buy-in draft.
Okay, I had a $20 buy-in that I drafted for last night, so we can talk about some of my picks, and you can criticize
me. How many teams?
Is a 10 team league.
That's a 14 team league offline draft.
Good night.
Yes, that's last year we were 12, and now we're bumping up to 14. No keepers, so
that's hardcore.
It's a clean slate, so we're looking forward to it.
All right, so should we get into it?
Yeah, let's jump right in.
All right, wild card, MLB wild card. That's what we're going to be talking about here for the first few minutes. As of right now, the Boston Red Sox are the winners of the East.
Mm-hmm.
The Cleveland Indians, the different-looking Cleveland Indians now that I believe it was Carrasco hit the DL along with Andrew Miller.
Back on the DL less than a week after he got reinstated off of it.
And then the Houston Astros, shockingly, are winning the West. And then, which makes the wild card teams, the New York Yankees, they are in the first spot. They're 2.5 games above the team in second place, which mm-hmm. is the Minnesota Twins. And we should probably preface this podcast with we are both pretty outspoken fans of both of our teams. Mm-hmm. Shepard is a fan of the Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
I'm a fan of the Minnesota Twins.
You're loving seeing the Twins at least contending for a wild card spot. It's tenfold different from last previous seasons.
Exactly. It's going to be a dogfight here, though, because if we look at this wild card, it is crazy. Because really, there are only three teams that are they don't have any hope. And you could argue Toronto, they're six games back, tough to make up, but it's not impossible.
Right.
And then from there, the teams that are not in the wild card right now are Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Texas, Seattle, Kansas City, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. the Angels.
And now note that four of those teams are under 500.
Right. Which is also crazy looking at how many games back they are of that mm-hmm. second spot. And Baltimore, which is the last team in the wild card race that has a glimmer of hope to sneak into the second wild card spot. And they are 4.5 games back, which is remarkable. This is going to be really fun all the way down to that one game playoff that we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be huge. So out of these teams, who do you think has the best chance to hold down that second wild card spot?
As much as I like this kind of revamped Minnesota team.
The
pitching is terrible. That's the thing that's going to kill him, because was it Kitzler is your closer?
He got traded to the Nationals.
There's a massive hole there now, mm-hmm. where
Matt Belisle's the closer. He's amazing.
I still don't trust that the starting rotation to give up minimal runs and have the bullpen lock it down.
Right.
And at least from what I've seen, Minnesota's very up and down.
Right.
They've been up. They're 7-3 in the last 10 games. But can they keep that consistent over the next 30, 40 games?
Yeah, I mean, consistency really is to be argued on the pitching side, because, mm-hmm. as you said, the bullpen is shaky at times, but lately has been fine. then the starting rotation, we have solid front three with Ervin Santana, Jose Berríos, who's been shaky at times as well. But then Bartolo Colon has been surprising.
Big Sexy.
Big Sexy. He's found a new home in Minnesota. We're going to sign him to probably like a five-year extension after this year.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's there now. And as much as I want to see them stay in that spot, I don't know if they will. Because I think it'd be really cool to see Mike Trout in the playoffs. So if the Angels got in there.
Right.
And
but my issue with the Twins is the same with the Angels. It's starting pitching consistency.
Starting pitching. And I know Seattle has been kind of shaky in that department as well. Tampa Bay is actually fairly decent.
That's my pick, actually.
Tampa Bay Rays?
They have a better starting staff than the Twins or the Angels. It's their offense that concerns me. But if they can give up one or two runs and score three, you're going to win a game.
The three games under 500 Tampa Bay Rays, but only four games back in the wild card.
Right. My pick would be Tampa Bay there.
Right.
I think they could catch fire. Granted, they're 3-7 in the last 10, but there's still a heavy chunk of baseball still to be played. Where who knows? Kansas City could have another 2014 type of year where they just, in the month of September, just go on a hot streak and jump up and take that second spot.
Right.
Starting pitching is another consistency issue with the Royals.
And I don't know if you've heard anything about it, but the biggest thing that a lot of analysts and writers are talking about is run differential, especially in the wild card race right now. And it's kind of funny to look at. The New York Yankees have the number one spot in the wild card right now, and they are plus 120 in run differential, which I'm assuming that a lot of you probably know what run differential is, but it's how many runs you've given up plus the amount of runs you've scored. And which means that the New York Yankees have scored 120 more runs than they have let up. Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
That makes sense in my head.
All right. Okay, so I'm looking at the other wild card teams here in run differential. The Texas Rangers are plus 28. So, I mean, they're toward the middle. They're number 11 in the MLB in that regard. Followed by the Los Angeles Angels in 13th place. They are plus 5, and they are the last team that has a positive run differential. Otherwise, everyone else in the wild card standings. Sorry, we're only talking about the American League right now,
right,
by the way. Seattle Mariners, negative 15. Seattle Mariners are negative 15. The Tampa Bay Rays are negative 15 as well. The Kansas City Royals are negative 27. The Minnesota Twins are negative 32. Is Baltimore in it? Baltimore's in it,
Baltimore's
right?
Baltimore's in it.
So they are negative 45.
Good Lord.
And all the way down to Toronto, we argued that they could have a chance, but it's probably not going to happen, at negative 82 runs. And those are all teams that you might see in October.
Right. Those are all they're all feasible teams you could see in October. But to me, that says Boston, Cleveland, and Houston. Like, there's your top tier, and then there's a big drop-off to the point where either you're scoring a lot of runs or you are not scoring any runs and giving up a lot.
In this order, Houston, Cleveland, Boston are 2, 4, and 6 on this rankings. Houston's plus 160, Cleveland is plus 123, and Boston's plus 106. And those are your division leaders, which is remarkable. And I honestly, it's going to be a dogfight all the way down to the last game of the season.
Yeah. I mean, you could see a playoff game before that wild card playoff game.
Exactly.
Which happened before this, you know, wild card playoff game was established, because there happened to be a playoff game for the wild card spot, and everybody's like, that's actually kind of fun.
Yeah. And then you start to get into this territory where you're scoreboard watching other teams, and where there's one team that is completely out of it, like, say, the White Sox. The White Sox are completely out of it, but they're playing the Angels that day, so you're scoreboard watching that game. So that's almost like a mini playoff game in itself, where it means absolutely zero nothing to the White Sox, but they can just carry that extra confidence knowing that they knocked someone out of playoff contention, even though it wasn't technically playoffs.
I mean, you'll get those teams like the White Sox or the Tigers or even the Athletics who are going to be playoff busters. Even though their season is practically over, they can still go play the Twins or the Angels or the Royals and say, we're going to sweep you so you can't get in the playoffs.
Right. And one thing that I want to look at here going forward is the strength of schedule for these teams finishing the season. So which of those teams do you want to start with? Should we start with the Angels?
Yeah, let's start with the Twins and see what their schedule's like, if they can hold on to that.
I know for a fact that throughout the rest of the season from here on out, the combined winning percentage of the teams that they will play for the rest of the season is below 500.
That's not bad.
Which is good for the Twins.
That's not bad at all.
And let's see, I'll pull up the schedule here, and starting with the remainder of the month of August, we are currently playing the White Sox in Chicago. They split a doubleheader, then they won last night, and then 1-2, so two more games against the White Sox, and then they go to Toronto, which is another heavy borderline wildcard team.
Right.
And then from there on out starts the ringer of wildcard games. The Twins are home against the Royals for 3, then they go to Tampa Bay for 3, then they go to Kansas City for 4, and then they go interleague for some reason and play the Padres for 2.
Two games against the Padres. That could be feasible, easy wins.
Yeah. And then 4 against the Blue Jays at home, 3 to the first place wildcard team in the New York Yankees, 4 against the Tigers, 3 with the Indians, and then I'm assuming that there's one more game in
August.
So three with the Tigers at home. That's
kind of a cakewalk.
Yep. It's not necessarily a cakewalk because you have teams like the Indians and the Yankees, and then you might split a series with the Royals.
Right.
But it's definitely doable. I would say that if they caught a stride, they could win 60% of those games, 65% of those games.
Big time.
So that's kind of the status of the Minnesota Twins. Now we can go look at the Angels. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim right there. I just think it'd be really fun to see Mike Trout in the playoffs.
I like that team. You've got Calhoun, Crone, Pujols obviously would be a big piece, but I wonder if it's Pujols' last ride.
I don't know, because his batting average is kind of dwindling down there.
Yeah.
And, all right, so looking at just September for the Angels, it's a very NL West month, just as everywhere else. You're going to be playing a lot of divisional games in the month of September. So they start against the Rangers for 3. Then they play the Athletics for 3. Then they play the Mariners for 3. Then they play the Astros for 3. And then they play the Rangers again for 3. So that is...
So the Rangers and the Mariners series right off the bat, those are must-win series if you want to keep...
That's 15 straight divisional games. I understand we're in the wild card now, but those are teams that you, in theory, could and arguably should beat up on. So you'd probably split with the Rangers and then take the series with the A's. Got a series, tough series against the Astros in there as well.
Right.
But
ideally, you want to take one of 3 there. At least take one, and then you could probably split with Seattle to kind of stay relatively close.
Right.
Looking at the Royals schedule, very similar to the Twins. A lot of AL Central. 4 against the Twins, 3 against the Sox, 4 against at Cleveland, which would be a huge series for the Royals. They could feasibly jump up over Cleveland. They're 4 games behind Cleveland.
Right.
3 at Toronto, 3 at the White Sox, 1 at the Yankees, which I'm assuming is a makeup game. 3 at home versus Detroit, and they finish with 4 or 3 at home against the Diamondbacks.
That's interesting.
That's a tough series.
It is. But that's so strange, though, because, I don't know, ending your season with an interleague series is kind of strange to me. I don't know if I'm too hot on that.
To me, that's almost more beneficial for the Diamondbacks to finish on an interleague because you get to throw the extra bat in there to win a couple games. If you're still pretty close with the Rockies, anyone coming up underneath, you're going to want to win those games.
Looking at Seattle now. You want to do that one?
Yeah, we can do that one, and then we'll switch over to National League. Because that one's still kind of tight, too.
Got to give some love to the National League here. Yeah, so the Mariners, let's see. They're playing a lot of divisional games. Let's see. Starting September, they play from September 1st all the way until the 21st. They're playing all
AL West.
AL West opponents. And then they go back. They play one series with the Indians, and then they finish the season with six games against the AL West again. So
it seems about right.
Have fun, Mariners.
Looking over at National League, there's fewer teams as for the AL. I would consider the cutoff being at maybe Pittsburgh.
I wouldn't say Pittsburgh. I would say Milwaukee to Miami, and that's about it.
Yeah, Milwaukee to Miami. You've got Arizona. They're
they're half game up in from the second wild card team.
Right, they're like 12 games over 500.
Yep, 12 games.
Is that about right?
Yep.
Diamondbacks or Rockies are half game behind at 11 over 500. And then you kind of start seeing a little bit of a drop in schedule. But all these teams that are contending, unlike the AL wildcard, are 500-plus teams.
Right.
I doubt Miami could do it. I doubt St. Louis could do it. Really, the only team I could see pushing the Rockies or the Diamondbacks is being the Brewers.
I'd see that.
But the Brewers also have a lot of games against the NL Central, being the Cubs, Cardinals, Pirates, the Reds. Even though the Reds are a bad team, they're a formidable team, also known as Scooter Gennett.
Joey Votto.
I would say more so Scooter Gennett this year than Joey Votto.
But I think just the fact that you see two NL West teams in the wild card speaks more to how dominant the Dodgers have been.
Right.
That's 89-35. So if you double their losses, you still do not have as much as their win total.
Yeah. They could lose every game for the rest of the year and still be a 500 team. That is insane. And they got better adding Yu Darvish.
Right.
But he just went to the DL, but he'll be back for the playoffs.
And no one's been talking about the fact that this crazy streak that they've been on has been largely without Clayton Kershaw, given that he would have only been a factor in one out of the five games.
But right.
That's your best guy. That's the best guy in the MLB.
Alex Wood has had a pretty good year.
He also hit the MLB recently, didn't he? I believe he did.
Wood?
I believe Alex Wood.
Alex Wood was a Brave for a couple years.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Cody Bellinger and Alex Wood just hit the disabled list.
They'll be fine because you still have Adrian Gonzalez.
Yep.
He'll cover Bellinger's spot. You still have Puig, Jock Peterson.
Gonzalez will bat a hot 195.
Kike Hernandez can play in the outfield. So, yeah. You know, you've got plenty of bench players to kind of hold you through at a reasonable rate to kind of just keep on sailing through the rest of your schedule until you get Cody and Alex Wood back.
Exactly. So, are you fed up with wild card stuff yet, or you want to keep talking on some wild card?
We can keep going, man.
Okay. Let's see. The next thing I wanted to talk about was Aroldis Chapman being removed from the Yankees' closer role, which is kind of funny since they gave him this super huge deal over the offseason. Was it 5 years and some crazy amount of money?
Yeah, it was a pretty hefty deal.
So I think what I heard, I believe it was on the Ringer podcast, they said that it was on Baseball Tonight. It was the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. I think Keith Law was filling in there, though.
5 year, $86 million.
Yeah, crazy. And they were making a big deal about how Aroldis Chapman lost 1 mile an hour off of his fastball, which still puts it at about 100.5. It was about 100.5 miles per hour. But his ERA, isn't it jumped up to about 4 now?
It's about 4.5.
Yeah, which is remarkable that batters are starting to catch up to Chapman. So maybe, I know he relies heavily on his fastball to get outs, which I guess maybe that 1 mile an hour has made a difference for him.
I almost think he's relying too much on his secondary pitches and not sticking with his best pitch being the fastball.
Right, because he's a three-pitch guy. He's got fastball, changeup, slider, I believe.
Or he's not using the secondary pitches and players or batters are just sitting on a fastball.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, why not?
Right.
So the two obvious fill-ins for him would be either David Robertson, who recently just came back home, mm-hmm. and Dellen Betances. I would argue that Dellen Betances has more of a shot just because he has more, I guess D-Rob has closing experience too, right. but I think Dellen is more of a, I think he fits the role better. He's still that, he throws really hard, big guy, 6'8". I think just the fact that he has closed in New York more recently than D-Rob has, David Robertson, I think he's more fit for that role. And looking at his ERA, he still has an ERA of 2.11 this year versus David Robertson's 1.13, which was in Chicago too, though.
Right. But, I mean, here's the other thing. Robertson has pitched 16 innings this year versus the 47 that Betances has thrown. David Robertson's going to be a little bit more fresher down the road when you need to start winning those games. There, I mean, I wouldn't pick either one. It's closer by committee.
Yeah,
You throw Betances out for one game. The next day, you put Robertson out. And then you can either go back to Betances, like split the load so they're not being, more so for Betances not being used every day, but you're also keeping Robertson in sync with the rest of the team and keeping him fresh, and he's not just sitting on the pine waiting to get called into a game.
Right. Right, I'm looking at here some splits that they both have, and Betances has been fantastic versus both lefties and righties this year. Let's see. Yeah, opponent batting averages against right-handed batters, 146. Even lower against lefties, which is 127.
Here's my other concern with Betances. 33 walks in 47 innings pitched. That's a lot.
That's not what you want out of a closer.
That's not what you want, and you want someone who, like David Robertson, has 3 walks. Granted, it's only 16 innings pitched, but it's a much better percentage than Betances has right now. But I really don't think you could go either way, because it's going to be a situational thing. Who's fresh? Whose arm isn't
who's
sore?
Hot. Right.
Yeah, and who's hot, too? That's going to be the other thing, because, I mean, they kept rolling with Chapman until they really couldn't afford to anymore.
Until he was cold as ice.
Right. Because they're seeing Minnesota being there and like, we might want to make a different move to see if we can stop the bleed now.
Exactly. Well, so did you have anything else you want to talk about in the MLB? Anything in your notes there?
Otherwise, not necessarily for my notes. One thing I'm a little, not necessarily a little shocked by, Aaron Judge is a power hitter, but God, he strikes out a lot.
Yeah, he just ended his streak, though. Last night he ended his streak without striking out.
I know, but you haven't even played 162 games yet, and you're already sitting at 167 strikeouts. For a year, that's a ton.
It is a ton.
That's a lot. And I get it. You've hit 37 home runs, and your batting average is an ungodly number, especially with your on-base percentage and slugging. His OPS is over 1.011. That is nuts.
Yeah, you got to go by month, though. His August batting average is 182.
Right.
I mean, he went into the All-Star break hot, but when he came back out, he totaled out for a July batting average of 230. Mm-hmm. When in the first combined 4 months of the year, he was 303, 347, and 324,
right,
with March and April being combined together. Which, I mean, he was obviously a phenom in that time, and you can't expect him to carry that pace forward too greatly, but he fell off big time.
He did fall off big time, and I wonder if it's just like he's getting his first full year in. There's that fatigue that sets in. Because as a rookie, you know, especially minor league ball, you don't play 162 games. You play 120, 130. You're kind of getting close to that 120, 130 mark now at this point in the year. You got to push yourself a little bit harder and keep your mindset straight. Like, stop swinging at balls way out of the zone, because that's what he's been doing. Mm-hmm. He's fishing at sliders down and out of the zone. And other pitchers are like, I can do that. and they get the strikeout.
It's not too bad to plunk a slider in the dirt, curveball in the dirt when they're going to swing it.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, that's all I have for baseball this week.
Remarkable.
I did want to mention that we're doing something a little different with the podcast. Instead of it just being myself, Mitch, and one other person for 45 minutes to an hour, it's just Mitch and I with the occasional guest for 30 minutes two times a week.
We have not disclosed the second time. I'm assuming this week we will just go one, but we will figure out sometime in the future when we will schedule a second one.
It's just easier to kind of stay in the loop instead of having to backtrack 7 days where we only have to go 3-4 days.
Exactly. We'll find another date and let you know. You want to squeeze in some NFL talk here for the last 3-4 minutes?
Yeah, it'll work. Okay. Cam Newton to make his preseason debut Thursday against the Jaguars. Okay. Finally.
One thing, maybe we'll have you critique my first fantasy draft of the year.
Go ahead.
Does that sound good? All right.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll read these. This is the order I picked these players in.
Because that's the part that I'm going to critique you on is when you picked them.
First round, AJ Green.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell you the position I had. I was the last pick, 10th one, so I went back to back.
Okay.
AJ Green and DeMarco Murray were my first two picks.
All right.
Then it was Amari Cooper and Carlos Hyde.
Okay. And I've said this for the last 2 or 3 years, I'm not sold on Carlos Hyde.
I'm not either. I need running backs, though. Running backs are a hot commodity when you're...
There are running backs further down in the draft that are worth more than I would say.
See, I'm not a very good running back scout, though. I fancy myself as a pretty good wide receiver scout, but I'm not that great of a running back scout.
Right.
And then I pulled up early and took a quarterback in the next round.
Ooh.
He's a mid-level quarterback.
That is my biggest pet peeve.
I'm sorry.
If it's Matt Ryan, I'll let it slide.
It's not Matt Ryan.
Who is it?
Plays similarly, though. Jameis Winston.
That's way too high.
I know.
Fifth round?
Yes, but there were already three quarterbacks off the board at that point.
And there's still 27 other quarterbacks.
He's going to win MVP this year.
15 of them worth drafting. I'm assuming it was Brady, Rodgers. And Newton.
I'm not sure who the other one was. I just know there were three. But, okay, so we'll let that one slide. And then you may think this is a sleeper for this year, but I probably reached a little bit for him, but I took Martavis Bryant with my next pick.
I like the pick as who the player is. Reach, I will agree with that, is a reach. If it's a sleeper, that's someone you can get in the 11th, 12th, 13th round as a bench guy who you know could have a big year.
I think he will. And then I went back to running back and took LeGarrette Blount. I read something that says he'll have a larger role in Philadelphia this year.
Right, but
he is my third running back. Take that in mind. In two running backs start.
Is this a PPR league?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
I probably would have gone, if he was there, Danny Woodhead instead because of the PPR targets.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I took Delanie Walker, went to tight end.
Okay.
And then Brandon Marshall.
Okay.
Now you're going to hate me again.
Oh, God.
I pulled a defense.
Oh, why?
Took the Vikings because they're a very good defense.
Sleeper defense, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah? Joe McCoy.
I like that defense. Brett Grimes, the ageless wonder at cornerback. a lot of Quan Alexander, a lot of solid players there. And last year's defense was pretty good. They got better by adding Brett Grimes.
Right. I'll just rip off these last few. Theo Riddick, O.J. Howard, Steven Gostkowski, Kirk Cousins, Corey Coleman.
So you have two quarterbacks?
Yes.
Okay. I like that Corey Coleman as a last pick. That's not bad. I have a draft coming up Sunday, and that's a clean slate draft. And I've got one Labor Day where we get two keepers.
Interesting.
This is my team from the previous year. Matt Ryan, DeSean Jackson, New England Patriots, Charles Clay, Belial Powell, Randall Cobb, Frank Gore, Gostkowski, Dontrell Inman, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Reed, Allen Robinson, Willie Snead, Taylor Gabriel, Todd Gurley, Kenneth Dixon, Tyler Boyd. None of them are worth keeping.
No.
Not a chance. Because then it's like you give up your first-round pick. The only one I would consider, if it wasn't a first-round pick, would be Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
But not a first-round. So it's a clean slate for that league.
Right,
as well.
You don't want to keep any of those guys.
Yeah, but
that's good though. I'm excited for this fantasy football season.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta get our league back up running and pick a draft day. I'm still waiting on a couple other responses. I'm assuming you're in.
Yeah, I am in. You can count me in.
Cool.
Alrighty. Well, is that it for this week?
Yeah, that'll wrap it up for this week.
Okay. Well, we'll see you hopefully twice next week.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. All right. You want to sign them off?
Yeah, we'll be a to-be-determined time for next week. We'll be back talking about whatever happened over the weekend.